Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt, and it's time to check in with Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Karen, does Bob call this segment something like legal briefs or something? Is there a name for it?
Yes, that's exactly what he calls it. It's probably a trademark, too, so be careful.
All right, I'll call it legal boxer briefs. How's that?
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. So President Trump is going after some big law firms. Why? Because they are going against him?
Well, I think the reasoning is that some of the big firms had taken positions maybe against him or had represented the government in different things that were against him. And I think also DEI, he doesn't like that. So a lot of these firms have DEI programs. So he has taken it upon himself to issue executive orders against them. And so a lot of firms are cutting deals with him, saying, hey, you know what, we're going to do a lot of pro bono work for your causes, meaning, you know, they're going to get their lawyers to do free work up to the amount of, right now, I think it's $940 million has been promised. And so this is very concerning for people in the legal community because, you know, when you're in a law firm, you represent people from both sides of the aisle. You represent people from all walks of life. And to be kind of corralled into doing what the administration wants to do really raises a lot of concerns with independent lawyering. But I think these cases are going to go to court, and some of them have already been stricken down, and it'll figure out its way in the court system.
Boy, this world is ever-changing, isn't it, Karen?
It is. I can't imagine that this would have happened, you know, 30, 40 years ago when I was in a big law firm. Just that kind of stuff just did not happen.
All right. And then so this Milwaukee judge was arrested last week. Give us some more information on this.
Well, you know, the allegations are she obstructed justice because there was an undocumented immigrant in her courtroom on another matter. And ICE and I think it was six federal agents came and wanted to arrest him. You know, your courtroom and when you're a judge is sort of your own little fiefdom. So she referred them to the chief judge and the chief judge gave them instructions. It's unclear whether there was a warrant for his arrest or if it was the correct warrant. There's different types of warrants. And so there's a question as to whether she let this guy out the side door that went into the main hallway. And was that unusual? Was she obstructing justice? Did she intend to have him avoid that? You know, that's going to be the question. But whatever happened here, and the facts will shake out at some point, it's very unusual to have six people arrest a judge and perp walk her, the 65-year-old judge, out the front of the door. It just doesn't happen in federal world of criminal law. So obviously this was a message that if you're going to be against our policies of immigration and obstruct justice, we're going to make you an example.
Can't wait to see how this one shakes out. And I am kind of obsessed with crime, and I know you are too. This Idaho murder defendant, his defense saying the death penalty is cruel and unusual. Really? I mean, look what he did. Allegedly.
Exactly. Well, and you know, he is innocent until proven guilty. I think the interesting part here is this, and maybe it's more intellectual than anything, is that he has been diagnosed as with a mild form of autism. He's on the spectrum. And the question is, you know, do you execute somebody who has mental impairments or emotional impairments or autistic tendencies? So, and the answer is the judge said, yeah. We can execute you, but the jury is going to get to decide whether or not the death penalty is appropriate and can use that. So basically, not all autistic people have impairments like this, but there is some, you know, idea that he could be impaired when it comes to communication, social skills, impulse control. And so the court says, no, we can go for the death penalty here, but the jury can consider it in weighing whether or not he should be executed.
There is such a diverse way to define autism spectrum disorder. I mean, there are so many different levels of it that Well, whatever. Good for his defense.
No, you're absolutely right. And there are some people that you can say, you know, this guy maybe couldn't have figured out what he was doing. But in this case, this guy had a what they say is mild form of it. And clearly, that doesn't mean you don't know the difference between right and wrong.
Absolutely.
That's pretty clear.
Absolutely. And what's going on with P. Diddy? When does that trial start?
Starts on Monday. Jury selection will start, and you know, he's in a world of hurt. He's been incarcerated since September. This is going to trial pretty quickly. We don't know exactly who's going to testify. Some of this has been kept, the names have been kept confidential, but expect to see victims come to the court. Expect that we're going to hear about tapes and videos that are going to be played before the jury, but we're not going to see them. There's no cameras in the courtroom. And so this is a very serious matter, because if he's convicted, he probably will get life in prison.
Wow. Never a dull moment in the world of law, huh, Karen?
Never.
She is Karen Conti, and this has been Legal Boxer Briefs. I'm going to call it that when I fill in for Bob. Is that okay?
That's fine with me, Wendy. You can trade name that, too.
All right. And you're on Sunday, correct? What do you have on Sunday?
I'm on Sunday. More P. Diddy stuff. You know, we're going to talk, dive into that a little bit. And you know, just, you know, a variety of things we're going to be talking about. Usually I just kind of hit on some of the legal stories of the week, and sometimes they pop up right before my show and I jump on them. So you never know.
You do a great job. Karen's on this Sunday from 3 to 5, right?
That's right. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, Karen.